Welcome to the Junk Refund Show, hosted by Alan J. Cook, founder of 1-800-JUNK-REFUND. Have you ever paid those expensive junk removal companies to take away some of your stuff? Only to say to yourself, as a truck drives off down the street, some of that stuff wasn't junk. Did they try to sell it for you and give you some money back? No. Well, now there is a company that can do just that. Listen to our weekly Junk Refund Show on BBS Radio TV to learn how one lady spent $375 on junk removal and got $3,200 back. 1-800-JUNK-REFUND represents the next generation of junk removal. Learn how to not only save your money on junk removal, but how to get some money coming back. Plus, purchase one of our radio vouchers during the show to save even more on your junk removal. Let's get the junk out of your home and out of your life. Now, with your host, Alan J. Cook.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Junk Refund Show, which I rarely do from my apartment, sitting at a desk, all ready to go. A lot of these times I do this show from a truck or from a standing outside of a job that we're doing, or recently just because I've been so busy with different jobs, I haven't had the time to stop and do a show. So I'm kind of proud of the fact that I'm just doing this like a regular guy would do it. And so that's kind of fun. Anyway, happy July 2nd. I have to take a second to sing happy birthday to my sister, Carolyn, whose birthday is today. She is, I think, in the middle of the family of 11 kids, which would make her like kid number six. And today is her birthday. I have a wonderful family, a group of siblings that is we're all on a text chat. And because I'm on the East Coast and everybody else is west of me, most of them are in Utah, when I wake up in the morning and I go, oh, I got a sibling like Carolyn who has a birthday today, I go on the text chat and I wish her happy birthday. And just because of the Eastern time zone, I'm usually the first one that gets on and is able to wish somebody a happy birthday. So that was the case today as well. But we just have such a wonderful, harmonious group of siblings. And you would think with 11 of us, one mom, one dad, 11 siblings, one stepfather, but basically a mom and a dad that raised 11 kids and did so, frankly, very successfully. They did a great job. Both of them have now passed on, and 11 of us are very tight. Everybody is happy. We have, you know, challenges that we have like anybody has, but by and large, it's a very happy group of people who enjoy texting each other and talking with each other, and I just think that's kind of a cool thing. So there is happiness in big families. We're a living example of it, and we've had a great story, thanks to my parents, I think, but they will, you know, my mother was always very quick to say, you know, I just had great kids. And, well, okay, thank you, but we were, you know, raised by somebody other than us, right? So we're just trying to live up to what was laid out in front of us as an example. But anyway, I'm going to sing happy birthday to my sister, Carolyn, just for fun, because it is her birthday. So here we go. And I'm telling you, she's not listening, but maybe she'll pick this up on the podcast later or something. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Carolyn. Happy birthday to you. There you go. A little shout out to my sister on her wonderful birthday. So we're coming to you from Bethesda, Maryland area. And as you know, it's the 250th celebration of the signing of the Declaration of Independence this year. And so here we are in Washington, D.C. with all kinds of things happening. And I thought I'd just give you a little glance of what's up in Washington. First of all, it's about 102 degrees out there right now, which for a junk removal guy is kind of serious, right? But when you think about it, we go into an air-conditioned home, haul a bunch of stuff out to the truck when we're done with the, and then we go back into the air-conditioned home. When we're done filling up the truck, we get into the air-conditioned truck and with our waters and sodas and whatever, and drive someplace to empty the truck. So you go out there and you do some work in the junk removal business, and then you get a break. You get to just ride in the truck to wherever it is you need to go to get rid of the stuff. If we were out laying asphalt all day, right, and we got a one-hour break for lunch under the shade tree or something, or maybe in the truck or something, that would be brutal. But in our business, we do get a little bit of a break, and that's always nice and enjoyed by us. So it's 102 degrees out there. I heard last night from a good friend of mine who would know this, that they have moved back the starting of the fireworks this Saturday on the National Mall, which is one of the biggest fireworks shows in the country every year, to 11 o'clock. It usually starts around 9 o'clock. They pushed it back to 10:30. I think, according to my friend, President Trump is involved in some kind of a, I don't know what it is, something, in, but they pushed it back to 10:30, and then the Secret Service came in and apparently said, no, we got to start it at 11. So starting fireworks at 11 o'clock, and my buddy's concerned that all the kids in the families are going to be asleep by 11 o'clock, you know, and he's got a good point. So apparently, going by what I've heard, I haven't verified this, the national fireworks from Washington, D.C. are going to start about 2 hours later than they normally start. So there you go. That's going on. That's what's up in Washington. There are a lot of people here. We have a parking lot out behind our facility where I usually park two or three vehicles, and for the next 60 days, I think it's through sometime in September, they're going to have 25 buses parking out behind us. And so they've shut the parking lot down to the regulars like me. We have to park on the sides and stuff like that. But the boatload of buses are coming through for the rest of the summer. Tourism, I'm assuming, you know, people coming into town and stuff, celebrating the 250th anniversary. So there's some traffic issues going on, and roads are closing in various places. I have a good friend that lives down in the middle of D.C., only a few blocks from the mall down there where the Smithsonian is and the Capitol building, all that kind of stuff. And they are shutting off some of the roads down there and rerouting people so that even if you want to walk a couple of blocks from where you live over to the National Mall, to go to a museum or to watch the World Cup soccer matches, which they have on a big screen down there. That's been a lot of fun to watch those. You can't just take your regular route. So D.C. is a interesting city, especially now, 250th anniversary, the nation's capital. You better believe there's a lot of security going on, and they're trying to make it as safe as possible for everyone. And this is a great time to come to the nation's capital if you can put up with the crowds. So that's what's going on in D.C. Elsewhere, a shout out to my friend Robert, who for years has spent the 4th of July at his very nice second home up in Deep Creek Lake in the western part of Maryland. And he is up there this week. And I think this is a great tradition. This is a real success story for a family because he has done this for a couple of decades, I think. Now, he's got 42 people, just family members, up there this weekend. I called him because he's such a good friend of mine, and I was looking for something fun to do for a couple of us in the D.C. area where it's not quite as hot. We could escape the heat and get around some water and cool off and all that kind of stuff. And so I sent him a text and said, hey, are you in Deep Creek this weekend? And he said, yes. And I said, hey, do you, I don't remember how I started. I tried to tactfully say it. I probably wasn't very good at it, but I basically said, hey, if you got room for more people and you want a whole bunch of Ben and Jerry's ice cream, let me know and I'll bring it up to you. Well, that's when he told me he's got 42 people up there and they're going to have a blast, you know, jet skiing and going out on the boat and doing the stuff you do. But most importantly, it's a great success story that he and his wonderful wife have put together over the years, a tradition of getting his family together up there to just party and have a good time. And that's real success in my book, when you can gather your family all together and just have a great time together as a family, regardless of where it is, and it doesn't have to be on jet skis or boats or anything like that. That's a real success story. And I tip my hat to him and his wonderful wife and the great work that they've done over the years in creating such a fun family event up at Deep Creek Lake in Maryland over the 4th of July weekend. And I think they kind of draw it out, you know, for like a week. It's like a week-long celebration kind of thing. But good for them. I think that's noteworthy. Also noteworthy is I am about 3 weeks off now. Let me do the math real quick. Yeah, 3 weeks ago tomorrow, I was at my 50-year high school reunion out in Utah. And I want to tell you what I learned, what I experienced. And for those of you who might be having high school reunions coming up, I'm going to tell you what I thought about mine and how it went. First of all, they came out about 6 months ago, the senior class officers, we'll call it, came out about 6 months ago and said, hey, we need some volunteers to help with this and this and this. And one of the things that was on the this list was the person to head up the entertainment part of the Friday night Big Bash after dinner. That's kind of down my alley. I mean, I do a radio show and a couple of podcasts, and I'm not exactly an introvert, right? So I kind of emailed them back and said, hey, I'd be happy to do this. And man, they were quick to jump on that one. Now, I want to tell you what I learned from this, because it was such a great experience. And this particular one, you know, your 50-year reunion, you get one shot at life, in life at that. The last one I went to was 5 years ago, and I guess because I'm out doing, at the age of 68 now, I'm out doing, like I did this morning, physical labor, right? And I'm hauling stuff to a truck and throwing it off the truck, and I'm just kind of, I'm walking a lot, you know, stuff like that. It tends to keep you somewhat in shape, let's put it that way. You know, not like some of these Tai Chi guys that you see on the internet these days that transform their bodies in 30 days, but I'm in decent shape. Let's just put it that way. So 5 years ago at our reunion, a girl walked up to me, one of my classmates, and said, hey, we've been talking over here. Some of us girls have been talking, and we think you are the least changed. Now, when you go to a high school reunion 45 years after you graduated, and some people randomly come up to you and say, you are the least changed, that's probably the best compliment you can get at a high school reunion, right? So at my 50th year reunion, and I've been planning this now for about 5 months, when I thought about this, I thought, okay, I'm going to entertain these people for about an hour, and I want to make it fun. And I want to make it rewarding, but more than anything else, I want to make it memorable. So I started to do a little research. We graduated in 1976. Well, that's a bicentennial year. So I reached out to President Trump's office, Senator John Curtis's office, Senator from Utah, Senator Mike Lee's office, and Governor Spencer Cox's office, and just sent emails saying, hey, we're doing our 50-year bicentennial, you know, graduating class reunion in June. Would you like to give us a short video just congratulating the class, given that we're a bicentennial class? Well, to his credit, Senator John Curtis put a video together and shot it back to us within about 2 weeks of me originally asking for it. I did not hear back from either any of the others three. That's not a criticism. It's just that's the fact. But Senator Curtis's office jumped all over this and sent us a video congratulating us on our achievement and reminiscing briefly about what those days were like, because he remembered it. He graduated 2 years after us from a different school up in Salt Lake City. I went to Orem High School in Orem, Utah, and had a graduating class of close to 800 people, I think. John sent this video to us, and it was just fabulous. And so I rapidly became a big fan of Senator John Curtis, just because if he took the time to do this, and I thought it was terrific. He talked about the music that came out in the 70s, including an album by the Eagles called Greatest Hits, which is the top-selling album of the 20th century. And I think it's still the top-selling album for that time period, depending on Michael Jackson's Thriller album and who's bought that recently. So he commented in his video, Senator Curtis, that we had great music, we had bell-bottom pants, we had just lots of fun with our styles and everything going on. And it was terrific. I also learned when I did a little searching on trivia for 1976 that the show Family Feud debuted on July 12th of 1976. I didn't know that. So I decided to do a Family Feud type game format for the hour of entertainment that I was going to provide. And the other thing that I thought, and it, when this thought came into my mind, I just thought, hey, that would be really cool if I could pull that off. And that was that given that it's our 50th year anniversary, or not anniversary, but reunion, wouldn't it be cool if I went out and bought 50 gift cards to give out to people who played Family Feud with us and made each card worth $50? Now, that's just a cool idea. To make it happen, you need $2,500. But I thought, that's a darn good idea, right? And I thought I could get, you know, a couple of little tables and a couple of little bells, and we could have people come up one-on-one, Family Feud, one question, winner takes all, you walk off with a $50 gift card. That idea just stuck with me for the next few months, and I thought, yeah, that would be a kick-butt awesome thing to do. And I didn't want to go out and raise money for it. I just wanted to do it myself and not tell anybody where these gift cards came from. So my buddy Scotty, who did a great job, is one of the class officers. He is in charge of everything that happened on Friday night, from the dinner to the launching of the balloons in memory of our 88 class members who have passed away, to my hour of, you know, entertainment and stuff. I told him about it, and he loved the idea, and I said, okay, but don't tell anybody else. I want this to be a surprise to everybody. And it was. And it was a smashing success. And in just a minute here, we're going to take a break for about a minute, and then I'm going to come back and pick up the story of where we left off, because one of the funnest things I've ever done is to walk into a Safeway store on Thursday night before our reunion and buy 50 gift cards all in one shot. And I'm going to tell you about what that's like when we come back. But that was one part of it that was fun. The second part that was fun was just giving them out to people that night and seeing their reaction. And the third part that was fun are the thank yous that continue to come in and will continue to come in on our reunion Facebook page from people who received one of the cards and are thanking me for making the card available to them. So we'll pick up where we left off in about a minute. We'll take a break right now. You're listening to the Junk Refund Show. I'm your host, Alan Cook, coming to you from the Washington, D.C. area. We'll be back in about a minute.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Hey, thanks to our producer, Don Newsom, for his great radio voice. That was him that you just heard. And for him and his brother, Doug, who do a great job at the BBSRadio.com station and network. It's really a network, actually, but they're doing a terrific job. Shout out to them for all the good stuff they do. So I'm going to suggest to you that there are not a lot of people on the planet who have walked into a Safeway store or any other store and purchased 50 gift cards at once, each with a value of $50, and did it with cash. So let me tell you what happens and how this was so much fun. Let me tell you how this happens. First of all, I go in and I look for somebody. I didn't just walk up to the teller and say, hey, I'd like to do this, because I hadn't selected the cards yet. But there's these folks that kind of oversee the self-checkout area. They're kind of standing by, watching, make sure everything's cool. I went up to that guy, and I said, hey, I'm doing a high school reunion thing tomorrow night, and I need to buy 50 gift cards for $50 each. That's $2,500. Is that cool? Is there anything I should know about this or a certain way we should do it? And I'm going to pay for it in cash. And he said, just a minute. And he goes over to another employee, the senior manager, I guess, or something, explains to them what I'm going to do. And I just heard her say 50 cards. And he said, yeah, 50 cards, $50 each. She goes, yeah, that's okay. So then I went over. So that was fun, just kind of stunning the employees. But then the second thing I did was I went over to the wall. There's this three-sided wall where they have all the gift cards on display. And it's like Christmas come early, man. I just thought, oh, Chipotle, yeah, that'd be a good one. And, Five Guys, yeah, let's do that. And Amazon, yeah, we got to get one of those. And, all these different McDonald's and Burger King and all these different places. And some of the gaming ones that they have, Microsoft and some others were on there. So there was just a whole bunch. Cheesecake Factory was a big one. And I went through and I started just picking these off. It's like picking them off a Christmas tree, picking them off the wall and just throwing them into a bag and kind of counting as I went. Now, I learned pretty quickly. I had grabbed a MasterCard and a Visa card one. But then I saw that they have like $6 or $7 activation fees for those. These other cards do not have the activation fee. If I had bought 50 cards with a $7 activation fee, I'd pay $350 extra just to get the cards. I didn't want to do that. So I put the MasterCard and the Visa and the American Express gift cards back on the rack and stayed away from those so I could stay away from the fees, and ended up getting 50 various gift cards. I also wanted to not have any of them repetitive, which was also fun. But this is like, Christmas in reverse, where you get to just, you get to go to the place and just start pulling off gift cards that you're buying to give to somebody else. And you have to take 50 of those things off the racks. I mean, that takes longer than a minute. And it's just really fun to pick out, let's see, let's do one of these and one of these. And here's an AMC, theater card. And here's you name it, Starbucks gift card and all kinds of stuff. So I ended up getting 50 of them. I went through and then double checked that none of them had any activation fees. And then I walked over, and the same gentleman that I approached originally came over to the checkout counter with nobody else, there. And I start taking these cards out of my little bag, and he starts ringing them up. And what's fun is to watch the cash register, because every time he rings another one up, you know, the purchase price goes up $50. So pretty soon he was up to like $800, and I thought, he's about a third of the way done. That's good. And then he's up to, you know, $1,600. I go, he's two-thirds of the way. Finally, he is at $2,500. And I then had taken this money out of kind of a petty cash, you know, fund that I have at my work, just cash that I keep around in case of an emergency or something like this or whatever I want to use with it. So I take that out, and now on the counter to the left of the teller is a pile of 50 gift cards. And I'm standing on his right, the gift cards are on his left, and I start shelling out $100 bills and $20 bills and $50 bills on the counter to pay for these gift cards. And pretty soon there's $2,500. He's got to double count it, make sure it's accurate, sitting on the counter, and there's 50 gift cards sitting, you know, three or four feet away. And all of a sudden I start to look around the store and I went, man, I'm a sitting duck. This is now a security issue. I got $2,500 in cash sitting in front of me on a counter. Anybody could just come up from behind me and start grabbing cash and run out of the store. Or they could see this pile of gift cards and they could run up and grab the gift cards. But I guess the security part is that the gift cards have not been activated yet. And the guy that's the employee of Safeway counted up all the money a couple of times. He goes, yep, $2,500. That's great. And then he hits this button on the cash register, which begins the process of wiring in or activating each of these cards. Now, you got to activate 50 of these babies. So that thing starts, and this little kind of low-pitched bell starts ringing in the background. It's just kind of saying, okay, we're in process, we're in process, we're in process. That was fun. Just watching him activate 50 gift cards at once was a blast. He got it done. Then he pulls out like a six-foot-long receipt that has all these cards on it, folds that up like six times, hands me the receipt. I put the – oh, and I bought for like $5, I bought a little tiny kind of a gift bag to put all the gift cards in so that the next night at the reunion, I would just have those sitting next to me and I just reach in and pull another one out of the bag and give it to somebody. Anyway, it all worked out fabulously. I walked out of there with $2,500 of gift cards, flew them the next day to Utah where we had the reunion at, class reunion at Thanksgiving Point, a really nice resort there in Lehigh, Utah. And it was terrific. And I had put together about a 40-slide PowerPoint presentation that had, you know, trivia questions from, you know, who was our homecoming queen, or what was the name of our principal, or what computer company started in 1976? Apple Computer started in 76. Charlie's Angels, the TV series, started in 76. And I just had a lot of fun with all these trivia questions, put about 40 slides together, bought a clicker to run off my laptop so I could remotely do this, and they had a big drop-down screen there. Oh, and then on the music, so that was all set, ready to go. I took my laptop out with me. But on the musical side, we have a guy who graduated in our class named Kurt Bester. He is the most talented guy that I know personally. And for 38 years, he's been doing sold-out Christmas concerts at a Bravenel Hall or the Delta Center. I don't think he's been to the Delta Center, but a Bravenel Hall or some of the concert halls, the main ones in downtown Salt Lake City. He does three nights of concerts back-to-back, and they sell out every year. That's one of our classmates. And so I had called him and said, hey, would you perform a couple of numbers for us? And he came back and said, yeah, I'll be there. I'll do that. And I think the irony of this is that when they were planning this reunion, the senior class committee was concerned that they may not get more than 100 people there, especially when the barbecue dinner you're going to pay for is like $55 a person or something. So that was one of their concerns. But for whatever reason, 250 people signed up. We sold it out. We didn't have any more room. And that was fabulous. And I got to talk about Abe Lincoln. President Lincoln, a.k.a. Brian Jenkins from Orem, Utah, walked into one of our church services in Washington, D.C. about 6 months ago, dressed as Abraham Lincoln, and he is the spitting image of Abraham Lincoln. And he was in Washington to do a personal appearance for some organization. I didn't know him. He just walked in off the street because he's a member of our church, and he came to church, and he happened to come to the congregation that I go to. So afterwards, that day, we had a little luncheon for everybody after church, and I invited him to stay for it, and I got to know him better. And I asked him if he would come make a personal appearance at the reunion and read a customized Gettysburg address that I would write for him that was a takeoff on our high school, but it sounded an awful lot like the Gettysburg Address. Well, he said he would. So that night, as people are showing up, and you've got all these friends that you haven't seen in years, and all of a sudden, as you're, you know, in line to get some food, in walks Abraham Lincoln. I mean, spitting image of him dressed in the long black, you know, tailcoat and everything. And the, what do you call the hat, certain hat that Abe Lincoln would have worn, right? He looked fabulous, and he sat at the table next to me, and he was part of the program because we're a bicentennial class. So I had told people about a month earlier on our Facebook page that a, quote, U.S. president, quote, looks like he's going to be making an appearance at our event. And I also told him that musician Kurt Bester would be performing. You come to the reunion, you get a free mini Kurt Bester concert. I think the tickets doubled when we said that that was going to happen. But it was just a fabulous thing. And then we start giving out the gift cards. Now, here's the other thing that I learned. You know, when you haven't seen your classmates for 50 years, people have changed. And I think carry over from my 45th reunion, I still probably looked like one of the guys that most people could recognize. And when you check in to get your packet of stuff, they give you a name badge, you know, with your name on it, or you can write your name on it. And there's a picture from the yearbook when we graduated of what you looked like in high school. And then it's got your name there. So that's cool. Well, what I found myself doing is that as I saw people, almost without without exception, I had to look at their name badge as quick as I could to see who they were. Because almost without exception, I couldn't remember. And I couldn't put the names together. You know, people look different. It's been 50 years. And so I couldn't tell who they were. But in my case, throughout the night, many people from 20 feet away would say to me, "Hey, Alan, how are you?" And they would call out to me. So apparently I was a little bit recognizable compared to 50 years earlier. But by and large, without exception, I had to look, you know, at people's name badges to know who they were most of the time. And if you go to a high school reunion and it's been a few years and people are calling out your name without looking at your name badge, that's a good sign. That's what I'm saying. And that's what happened. It was such a fun night. There are people who will stay away from those reunions because they, I don't know, maybe they put on a bunch of weight, or maybe they have aged rather quickly, or maybe they've had a tough life and they just don't want to have to explain to people what's happened in their life or whatever it might be. But I'm telling you, this was, in my opinion, one of the most successful 50-year reunions that's ever been held. It literally sold out. We had no more room for people that night. We did a cool thing afterwards where we went outside on the grass and we let off 88 balloons in honor of our classmates that have died before us. The blue balloons were for the boys. The yellow balloons were for the girls. And that was a great thing to just let these things go and sail up into the sky. The other thing that was cool is that as I was giving out gift cards, somebody answered one of the trivia questions and was sitting down in the crowd. And so I walked down there to give them the gift card, and I immediately looked at their name badge, and it said Tyler. And I won't give you his last name, but it said Tyler. And I went, "Oh my gosh, it's my best friend from the ninth grade. and I hadn't seen this guy in 50 years. And I just gave him a big hug and was thrilled to see him. And I just, it was so much fun. My ninth grade girlfriend, a girl named Lori, was there from California with her husband. I hadn't seen her in 50 years. She still looks fabulous, and it was great to see her. And I just have, you have all these wonderful, fun, you know, reunions, mini reunions with people at the bigger high school reunion. And that is such a great thing to do, to reunite with people. Some people have aged very quickly. Some people just, I didn't recognize them at all. They just looked completely different. Some of the men were bald, right? A lot of them were gray-haired. I'm not bald, and I still have my brown hair, right? We had, one of the trivia questions was, who's been married the longest? Now, remember, we graduated in 1976. We had three couples there who married fellow students at Orem High School in 1976, one of them in the latter part of May. Before school was out, they got married as seniors in high school. And consequently, they've been married 50 years. We had one couple that got married in December, one couple got married in August, one couple got married in May. I gave a $50 gift card to the couple that got married in May. Right? We asked who has the most grandchildren. You know, and somebody has, I think, 13 or 15 grandkids now, something like that. All kinds of just fun, wonderful trivia questions that I put together on a PowerPoint presentation, and then was able to automatically just click it, and using a Family Feud format, we gave out $2,500 in gift cards in about 50 minutes. And it was just fabulous. The next day, they had a picnic at 4 o'clock. I went to one of our church temples out there, a new temple in that area, which I like to do as a spiritual hobby, at 5 o'clock. So I missed the picnic. And then they did the reunion the same week as the Orem Summer Festival of Festival Days, I think they call it, or something like that. So there was a parade, and we entered a couple of floats where our class sat on the floats as the 50-year reunion from Orem High School. And a lot of people said that was the funnest part of the whole weekend, right? They did a golf tournament this Saturday morning. It was really well done. They had T-shirts for people. They had, you know, special mementos for people. They, you know, 20% of the crowd Friday night went home with a $50 gift card. I mean, that's pretty good, right? And if you had played Family Feud back in 1976 and won the whole thing at their inaugural show, July 12th, 1976, Richard Dawson would have given you $5,000. That was the winning prize back in 1976. And we gave out $2,500, right? Plus had award-winning music, plus just had trivia and fun and all kinds of things. And it was just a absolute blast of a night. Now, here's the cool thing, and I'll wrap up this part of the show with this last little statement. Some people would say, why would you spend $2,500 individually on something like this when you don't have to? And I would say, because life is about the memories you create, not how much money you have in the bank. You know? And so what's kind of cool with this is that I spent the $2,500 on Thursday night, and out of the blue, the following Thursday, a week later, got a call from somebody who needed some work done. I did an estimate for them. The honest-to-gosh estimate with a discount for these people was $2,500. They called me about an hour after giving them the estimate and said, okay, let's do this. Can I just give you a credit card now? And I said, sure. So literally less than a week after I spent the money to get these cards and give them away to people, I got the money right back. And that's not why I did it, but that's what happened. So, you know, people will tell you, you give away stuff and it tends to come back to you. Well, best of both worlds now is I have these fabulous memories of putting together a great program, a lot of fun, gave out all these cards to people. They really appreciated it. That was a blessing. I have all those memories, but I also have the money, right? I got the money right back. So even if I didn't have the money, it would still be a great memory and a great move. But a nice little bonus is I got the money right back within a week. So now I have the memories plus the money. That's a double win. Anyway, you're listening to the Junk Refund Show. That's a little bit about my high school reunion and why you should go to yours. And we'll be back here in about a minute to do the last segment of the show. You're listening to the Junk Refund Show on the BBS Radio Network. I'm your host, Alan Cook, coming to you from the nation's capital. We'll be right back.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Hey, welcome back to the Junk Refund Show. I'm your host, Alan Cook, coming to you from the nation's capital where it is hot and a boatload of people are coming into town to celebrate the 250th year anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. And there's a lot of stuff going on in Washington. They tell me that they're going to be doing some flyovers on July 4th, and so they're closing the airspace over Reagan National Airport. So that, on the one hand, is a bummer. But on the other hand, we have BWI Airport in Baltimore. We have Dulles Airport in Northern Virginia. And if you want to travel a couple hours, we even have Philadelphia Airport available, which I have flown in and out of numerous times on all of these airports. Living in the D.C. area, one of the advantages is you've got three different airports that you can fly in and out of to accommodate your schedule, and that's just in its own mind a great thing. Let me tell you something else that happened recently. This is about a week ago. I walked into a 7-Eleven store, which I frequently do in the morning because they sell diesel gasoline at a 7-Eleven store here for normally about $4.69 a gallon. That's really low in the D.C. area. But if you're a 7-Eleven rewards member, which I am, they give you an extra 7 cents off. So now it's $4.62 a gallon. So I'll go in there and buy like $50 of gas in the morning or something and save money, and then we're good, you know, for the rest of the day or maybe longer than a day. Well, I was in there a week ago buying also my banana nut muffin and some orange juice or something in the morning, which I like to do. And I went up to the checkout counter, and a gentleman saw my shirt. He said, "What's 1-800-JUNK-REFUND? I said, "It's a junk removal business where if you have good stuff that really shouldn't be thrown away, we put it up for sale. And if it sells, then you get some money back." He goes, "Oh, that's interesting." And then he pointed with his finger to his mind, his head, and he said, "How do you get the junk out of here?" Now, that's a brilliant question. That's one of the reasons we do this show. It's because we talk about not only how to get the junk out of your homes and your garages and whatever, but how to also get it out of your life. And your life comes back to two things: what's in your heart and what's in your mind. And this guy, stranger to me, right, just said, "How do I get the junk out of here?" So I want to talk about that for a minute. How to get the junk out of your mind. Number one, make sure what's in your mind is true, right? Make sure you've got true facts, true things going on in your head as much as possible. It is harder and harder with AI and with, you know, the how people can fake you out on the internet and whatever, it's harder and harder to make sure you're looking at something that's legitimately accurate and true. But I guess point number one would be, you know, seek for the truth, right? I mean, if 2 + 2 = 4, and in your mind you think it's 5, you're going to have a problem with mathematics for a while, right? So make sure you get the truth up there so that you're focused on correct stuff, right? Second, recognize you can't control the future. You can steer yourself in a certain direction, you know, like I'm going to major in architecture in college, and then I'm going to be an architect later on. Okay, you can do that. Or you can go to medical school, and then you can become a doctor, right? But you can control the direction that you're heading, but you can't control 100% what's going to happen in the future. The only thing you can control 100% is what you're about to do next. And even then, that's not 100% true, come to think of it, because if you're driving down the road and you're saying to yourself, I'm going to take a bite of this donut, and then some guy hits you broadside at an intersection, guess what? What you're about to do next just changed, right? So technically, you can't even control 100% what you're about to do next. But the point is, you just focus on the next thing you're going to do and give that your best shot possible. This has applications in sports. I'm thinking of golf particularly, where some of these championship golfers won't look at the leaderboard on the golf course because they don't want to get sidetracked from what their next task is. And their next task is really simple. And it's the next shot. All you're doing as a pro golfer or an amateur golfer is focusing on shot after shot after shot, one shot at a time, and playing the best shot that you can, given where your ball is lying, given where the green is, given the bunkers and other things. All you can do is just focus on your next shot. If you're playing in the U.S. Open or if you're playing in the Masters and you start focusing on all the media attention that's there and the Augusta National Golf Club and all this awesome stuff, you've just taken your mind off the task at hand, which means you're probably not going to play your best shot. If you keep your mind focused on my next shot, that's all it is, shot after shot after shot, the score and where you end up on the leaderboard or not on the leaderboard takes care of itself automatically. And it doesn't matter what the tournament is or what city it's in. All you're trying to do is just focus on the next shot and make that shot the best shot you can make. And then everything else falls into place. So I put down here, you can only control what you're about to do next. So focus on that. Make it successful, do your job there, and then don't worry so much about the future because you're doing your best in the meantime to make some good things happen. I like to, in my business, I like to think of it as, you know, what can I do today from a marketing standpoint that makes me a better business? I don't have to take 8 hours out of my day to focus on marketing. I just need to take 5 or 10 minutes to stop by the post office to pick up the stamps for the postcards for the promotion that I'm doing right now, for example, for a 250-year celebration. We're doing half a truckload of junk removal, which is normally $395. We're doing it for $250. That's a great deal. So I'm going to mail out, you know, 10 or 20 postcards to apartment complexes or to the managers of real estate offices in the area and let them know about our special. Simple, right? So those kind of things. Just stay focused on the task at hand and don't let your mind wander off onto, you know, what's going to happen next or what are the ramifications of it or, you know, what am I going to do about this or saying, and the fears that generally come along with it. In your mind, one of our church leaders one time said there's really only two things that can be in your mind. And they cannot coexist there at the same time. One is faith, where you believe good things are going to happen. And one is doubt, where you believe bad things are going to happen. Those two forces can't stay in your mind simultaneously. One is going to chase the other one out. So the question is, which one do you want in your mind, right? We had another church leader who said, you know, if you're going to doubt something, doubt your doubt, right? Don't doubt your faith, doubt your doubts. Now, that's a good statement in itself, too. But the idea, how to get the junk out of your mind, a question asked to me last week by a clerk at the 7-Eleven store, is to just focus on the next task at hand, do your best job with that, and then move on to the next thing and keep going from there. Another trick that I use a lot, I'm a big believer in rewarding yourself. That people need to reward themselves because everybody else is too busy doing other stuff to think about rewarding you, right? They'll think about you on your birthday, and some of them will think about you on your anniversary, and they'll think about you on Christmas, and they'll think about you on Father's Day. They're not going to think about you on, you know, Thursday, July 2nd, when there's no reason to. But if you go out today and you survive 102-degree heat, and I did this a couple of days ago. I went out and had one of these days, and I worked on my own because I was clearing out a house, and it's an hour or so away from here, and I didn't want to pay to have somebody else ride in the truck along with me to come and help me out and then turn around and pay them to come and ride back and whatever. I just thought, I'm going to just go by myself and do this. At the end of that day, because I made it through the day and I got a truckload of stuff loaded up, and I had made progress on the job, etc., one of my things is to go to Chick-fil-A and get one of their peach shakes. That's my reward. I love doing that in the summer. And I will just go and say, you know what? You did a great job today. Go get yourself a shake. A little thing costs about $5 or something. That's my reward. And I take that thing home and I drink it and I feel fabulous. And I pat myself on the back and I go, yep, you deserve that. I think that's a very healthy thing to do. And I think it doesn't get done enough in life. If you counterbalance that with how many times we get down on ourselves for something stupid that we did or a mistake that we made, or how many times have you said to yourself, you are so stupid, you are so dumb, like I do many, many times. How many times have you said to yourself, you're one of the coolest guys on the planet, let's go get you a piece of cheesecake from the Cheesecake Factory to celebrate it? That doesn't happen. Happens in my life. It doesn't happen, I think, in most other lives. You have the right to reward yourself for a job well done. And some days you just try to make it through the day. You know, you wake up in the morning and you got 6 or 7 major things on your mind and you're going, I don't know how I'm going to make it through the day. But you do. And at 9 o'clock at night, you're going home to have something to eat or rest or whatever you're going to do. Stop and reward yourself with something that puts a smile on your face, like a peach shake from Chick-fil-A. That does it for me. You know, if I'd had a crappy day, give me a peach shake from Chick-fil-A and I'm feeling fabulous. So don't overlook the right that you have and the goodness that comes from rewarding yourself. You have the right to be happy. And I believe that whether you're single, whether you're married, whatever, you have the right to be happy, and you can control some of that happiness yourself just by doing some of the stuff we've talked about. I put down here a couple of years ago, July 4th was on a Thursday, and on that day when we recorded the show, I went down to Washington, D.C. on the Mall and randomly walked up to people and just said, is there anything you want to say about the 4th of July? And I got people from around the world. I got fathers who had traveled from Indiana to D.C. with their sons to celebrate the 4th of July. You know, I got people who hated Europeans and didn't want them coming to America anymore. I mean, I got all kinds of different opinions. Go back to the podcast on the Junk Refund Show a couple of years ago. Look for the one that was recorded on July 4th and just listen to what random people said about our country from Washington, D.C., when I walked up to them live, taping the show, and just asked them if there's anything they wanted to say about the 4th of July. And you'll get a good cross-section of what people are like, right? It's still one of the funnest shows that I've ever done. It was July 4th, I think, from 2 years ago. And I also want to do a shout out because of, you know, our 250th birthday in 2 days. We're still in the best country in the world. There's always, regardless of when you were alive on the planet, there's always something to be concerned about, always, right? Warren Buffett says that every time you have a presidential election, regardless of who wins, half the country's ticked off, right? That's the fact, okay? So, but still, regardless, we still have the best country in the world, and that should be celebrated. Shout out to America's World Cup soccer team, who defeated Bosnia-Herzegovina yesterday, score of 2-0. I will tell you that I am not the world's biggest soccer fan. The average—I googled this. The average number of goals that is scored in a World Cup soccer match historically is 2.8 goals, just under 3 goals, and they play for an hour and a half. So, on average, you're going to watch this match for 30 minutes before you're going to see a goal, right? Compare that with, you know, shooting 3-pointers in an NBA contest where they're, you know, each team scoring 100 points in 2.5 hours, right? That's more my kind of sports. But I'm gaining an appreciation for the sport of soccer because I see tens of thousands of people around the world watching these matches. And I'm saying to myself, that many people can't be wrong. There is something to this sport that I haven't appreciated yet. This year, I'm catching on to it. I will tell you, I am rapidly becoming a fan of the Mexican soccer team just because their fans are just freaking nuts excited about this team, especially when they played in the Aztec Stadium in Mexico City. I think it was last night or the night before. And they went on to win. And I think it's the first time in their history that they've made it into the round of, like, I think 16 now or something that they're in. Maybe it's 32, but I think it's 16 they made it into. Anyway, it's just so much fun to watch people get so into this sport. And I have also come to appreciate the strategy that allows you to win this sport because you have to know where the other members of your team are on the field and what they're about to do next and what's the most spectacular move, the most correct move, the most advantageous move you can make with that soccer ball between, you know, 10 other players on your team on the field at the same time. I'm amazed at how fast that ball moves. I'm amazed at how fast these guys can redirect it when the ball's coming at them, you know, really cruising through the air. And so I've gained an appreciation for this. And yes, I too am becoming a FIFA World Cup soccer fan. And frankly, I'm kind of proud of myself. So enjoy this World Cup. Enjoy the next match that the USA has on Monday night from Seattle, which should be a blast. My friend Robert, who's been in Deep Creek with his family, was at Seattle the last time, a couple of weeks ago, that the USA played in Seattle. He said it's the best sporting event that he's ever attended in his life, and he has been to some fabulous ones. So that's a cool thing. So anyway, enjoy this weekend. Be safe. Keep cold drinks on tap if they're, you know, with lots of ice, if you're in the D.C. area or any other place that's really hot. And be safe. Enjoy this wonderful country that we have. Look for the good that's out there and keep faith in your mind, running the game, not doubts. And I think you'll have a happier, more successful life filled with things you accomplished because you believed you could. And that's the spirit of America, in my opinion. Happy 4th of July, everybody. Thanks to the BBS Radio Network for all that they do. Have a great 4th of July. We'll see you next week on the Junk Refund Show, Thursdays at 3 o'clock Eastern. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Junk Refund Show, the longest-running junk removal radio show on the air. Join us next week as we discuss innovative ways to declutter your home, your business, and your life using 20 years of junk removal experience. Find out why we give out free ice cream gift cards to our clients, too. In upcoming shows, we will explore how to get the junk out of your relationships, your spiritual life, your waistline, even your travel life. Plus, call in with questions and situations you would like some help with. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we are committed to bringing the next generation of junk removal, because not all junk is junk. See you next week on the Junk Refund Show, every Thursday afternoons at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on BBS Radio TV.